study in those. Please go online. They were pretty good. All right, so you ready? You're going to get Psalm 23. We're going to read this out loud. We've been doing this every week. Amen. So you can follow along. Yep, here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in that. Amen. Praise God. So as we've been going through Psalm 23, we see that David, who wrote this, not only was a king, but he was a shepherd. And he's writing this, and there's this comparison to natural sheep to spiritual sheep. Raise your hand if you're a spiritual sheep. Amen. So this is written to us, all right? And in this psalm lets us know that God will always be present with us, okay? We are never alone. We are never alone. And he will be with us. He will help us because that's the kind of God we have. He's awesome. Amen?
Amen.
So today we're going to just look at verse 3. Verse 3. And if you'd like to read that with me again, here we go. Ready? He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So, if you'd like a title on your card of notes here, we're going to talk about restoration and guidance. Restoration and guidance. And, you know, it doesn't matter how bad you were before you received Jesus, or you're still not doing so great, he is going to offer us restoration. He does. He offers us restoration for our life. And the second part is he gives guidance. He gives guidance. So it's like he just didn't bring you into the family and go, ta-da, I'm leaving here, then you're that thing, tough, you're there. No, he continues to give us guidance. So we're going to talk about restoration and guidance. So how many of you watch these TV shows where they take some dilapidated old house? I love them. I'm just kind of a little addicted. They restore these old houses, right? Or my second one is they take these antiques, you know, whether it's a piece of furniture or some beautiful painting or something like that, and they are just gunked up and just pretty, you're like, really? And they restore them to their previous beautiful glory, right? So it's kind of like what life can do to us. Anybody been weathered a little bit and gunked up from life? Just, guys, what street do you live on? I'm coming. Okay. Well, listen, you know, sometimes life just hits us and it can hurt us. It can maybe even cause us to be far from God, right? But here's the thing. God has a restoration plan. God has a restoration plan for you and I. And matter of fact, that restoration is a full-scale rescue operation. Full scale. Everybody say, he has a rescue operation. For me and my family.
For me and my family.
Especially for my co-worker. Because, alright. So, I want to show you what this rescue operation looks like. Alright? And as a matter of fact, Jesus shows us. So, open up to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Jesus shows us what this restoration, this full-scale restoration looks like, okay? Because he's a good shepherd, and he wants to rescue us, and he wants to guide us. So y'all at Luke chapter 19, here we go. For the Son of Man, that's Jesus, the Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek, save that which was lost. How many of you remember before Jesus? How many of you remember before being lost? I woke you up. You don't need coffee? Oh my gosh, here we go. All right, remember before Jesus. I remember before that I was lost. And maybe you're here today and go, man, I'm still lost. Well, good. Hang with me. I'm going to tell you a few good things about that. But I do want to say this. We are living in a world, we're living in a time, we're living in a culture where they, the world, needs to see us, the church, that we understand that we're not lost no more. Right? They need to see, listen, Jesus came and he brought us to us, brought us to him, and he does great things in our life, and the world that's watching you needs to know that you are living this not lost. I'm not so lost. No, you're not. You have Jesus, right? Praise the Lord. Alright, so if you're taking notes, and I always say take notes, right? If you have the thing on your phone, I still haven't figured out how to do a calendar thing on my phone. I'm working on it. It's okay. I like paper. Here we go. Write these three words down. Ready? Three words, real easy today. Ready? Ready? Lost, seek, and save. Lost, seek, and save. Alright? So we're going to talk about these three words because when you understand them, you'll understand this rescue operation. If you get these words, you will understand this rescue operation that the Lord does in our life. All right, so here we go. Lost. They're going to put them up and, you know, or you can copy my notes later here. What does lost mean? He came to seek, say that was lost. This is what it means. Something that was lost is something also that was ruined, wasted, trashed, devastated, or destroyed. I don't know, a couple of those words were me before I had an encounter with Jesus. Any of those words? Some of you go, those were all words. Okay? And you might be thinking, well, I really wasn't so bad. Wrong answer. We all were we're in the middle of all that. Okay? So that word lost, again, ruined, wasted, trashed, devastated, or destroyed. And in the Greek, that word destroyed is the same word that describes our enemy. Y'all have an enemy, okay? It's the devil. And he's called the what? The destroyer. The devil's called the destroyer, okay? And it's really interesting. People are gonna get a little armed up in their brain and they think that God is the destroyer. I'm like, no, God is not the destroyer. You have an enemy. He comes to steal, kill, destroy, right? He's the destroyer, but God is not a destroyer, you know. Kind of cracks me up. You read these insurance policies, ask God. I'm like, read your Bible, buddy. That's not true. Okay, just side note here. All right. So, when Jesus came, right, and he uses this word lost, he's talking about, I came to seek and save those that are ruined, wasted, trashed, devastated, or destroyed. All right? Now, this is not us. Here we go to some other church, because I just connect, you know, twice. But there was a season in some other church, churches, where if you didn't know the Lord Jesus and you came into this church, they were like, us four no more. Like, what are you doing here? You're not welcome here. Who invited you? What? That's not our church, right? And we certainly don't want to ever think that certain people aren't welcome here. Because I pray all the time, okay? And I know what you are praying. God, send people that don't know you. Send people that are far from you, all right? Now, you understand what that looks like? Okay? Well, that's your neighbor, okay? That's that somebody that you know, and you're like, God, they are a mess. They are a mess. They're crazy. Yep. And guess what? That's what God wants. And that's what we want. We pray for it, okay? And the problem is that religious people who've probably been in church too religious too long, they're like, ooh, they look different. Ooh, they smell different. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And they're like, I hope you don't come back. God help them, and God wants people in his family. He wants people that need them here, all right? And I got news, I probably was one of those ooze when I first walked into church a long time ago. So praise the Lord. So Jesus says in Luke 19:10, I came to seek and save those who were ruined, wasted, trashed, devastated. So what do you think that looks like? How about that person who's been abused as a child or an adult? that looks like. Because there's a look to that, right? There's a look on the inside and the outside. How about that person who's just struggled as an alcoholic their entire life? That's what it looks like. How about that person that was in and out of jail, right? So half my family members were qualified for all of that. And I am so glad that the Lord came to seek and to save those. Amen. So, all right, Jesus came for them, right? And you might think, well, I'm just so good. You know, some days I'm downright perfect. Wrong. Nope, you are not. All right? The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Raise your hand if you're an all. Amen. So praise God. All right, so Jesus, the next thing he says, so we talked about loss. The next thing he says is seek. And seek means to desire, to pursue, to seek, or earnestly search for. I like that. Desire. Pursue. Seek. Earnestly desire. Search for, okay? It also gives a picture of somebody who wants to achieve or finding something they're looking for and they'll not stop. So I would like to not tell you, but this happens quite regularly. I will be in every room in this building with my keys, and I come back and it's time to go home. And I'm like, where are my keys? It just happened. Okay? And I don't have keys to start the car, so I am seeking, I am pursuing, I am going to achieve until I find my keys. And this week, praise God, that mechanical room downstairs has a way of eating them up. There they were, all right? So, how many of you, but I like this part, it says, they will not stop until they find. How many of you have said this or don't just say somebody else? Don't raise your hand. Right? I found Jesus. I found Jesus. You found Jesus, you think? He found you, right? Yeah. Jesus found you. You need to know that, all right? So this gives us a picture, this word, that Jesus put forth all of his effort, and he continues to put forth his effort to seek and find anybody, and he's not going to stop. Oh, it's raining today. I'm not looking for anybody. You know, it's too hot. No, Jesus is pursuing you and I and those that are far from him. Amen? All right? And listen, I want to tell you, I am so thankful because that's the Jesus that, how God is pursuing that grandson of yours that just, or your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister, okay? Or your wife or your husband. Boom! He never gives up. Never gives up, right? And I'm so glad. Everybody go to him. Man, I'm so glad you didn't give up. He is relentless in seeking out those that are lost. And even us in the goofy things that we got in our life, all right? All right, here's the third one, all right? I want you to hear this one. The word save. It signifies a rescue operation. I just love that. You know, a rescue operation. You ever turn on the news and it's like in the Sierra Mountains and some family, their little toddler gets lost in the woods, and next thing you know, there is this intense rescue operation. You got helicopters in the sky, and you got guys with dogs running around trying to find this, and everybody in the neighborhood's there. That's the rescue that God has for us and for those that are lost. Praise the Lord. So, a rescue operation, such as from a raging sea, illness, immediate danger, and it's this type of rescue that when there's this bad storm of life or whatever, that he brings, he rescues you, and then he brings you to a safe place. He rescues and brings you to a sound place. Anybody got rescued and brought over to a good place? Amen. Right. So, you might be sitting here going, oh, Pastor D, if you only knew about my life, it is a mess. That's okay. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. He comes to rescue. I just tripped over my shoes. It's going to be a great day. So, I didn't wear the high heels. It really looked better with this outfit. I thought I'd be going to the flats, but here we go. Praise God. It's a great day. that mess, that hard place, that broken place, that place that is just bad, right? And he wants to bring you out of that and bring you to a safe place, a sound place. Amen. Years ago, my brother Patrick came to live with us, and he was quite colorful, literally. This is before he even knew what a tattoo was. He was tatted all the way up and down, sideways. And he lived a really hard life, and he came to live with us because just some disease had hit his body. And I said, "You're coming to my house." So he flew from Thailand, where he'd been living, so you can imagine. He came to live with us, and we lovingly worked him over. No, we just lived Jesus. Okay, we lived Jesus. But there was one day, I think Jack went out there, and I think Pop Pop was out there, and Pastor Dan, they surrounded my brother with his colorfulness and tell him how much God loved him, that he wanted to take him out of this place. And I wasn't supposed to be on the deck. I was in the kitchen looking out the window. I saw my brother cry. He goes, "You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done. Listen, nothing that you've done is too big and too bad for God to come and rescue, scoop you up, bring you into a better place to save you." So Patrick did receive the Lord Jesus, okay? And listen, God isn't going to salvage, "I'll patch you up." He's going to restore you and bring you back to the beautiful place, place that you might not even know is inside of you, amen? And he'll restore you. Every area that Satan has tried to lie to you, he will restore. Everything that you think is a mess, he will restore. Everything that you think is stolen, he will restore. Everything that you think is devastated and destroyed, he will come. He does. He comes, and he will lift you up, scoop you up, and bring you to a restoration. Okay? He's always doing that. All right. Okay. Turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Praise the Lord. I want to give you the action. So we just read this scripture. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. But I want you to see what it looks like. Like, that's really good scripture, D. Okay, what does it look like? Well, here we go. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Let me give you the background. Okay, the background of this story is Jesus is talking to this pretty wealthy guy, probably pretty well known. He's kind of a religious scholar. Everybody knows about him. And he says to this man, "You need to love your neighbor." And the guy, I'm thinking he's pretty cool, got it together. "Well, who's my neighbor? You mean the guy that lives next to me? Next door to me? Is that my neighbor? Who's my neighbor?" Right? So, so this guy really, what he thought he was doing a really good job. You know. And by the way, if you do not know this, write this down. Your neighbor is anybody who's got breath. Your neighbor are human beings. People, all right? That's who your neighbor is, all right? And it doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter what they're doing. It doesn't matter if you like them or not. All right? Jesus came and he died and he rose again to rescue everyone. Amen. All right, so we're ready to read. Here we go. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. So, so this gentleman says, "Well, who's my neighbor?" Here's Jesus' reply. In reply, Jesus said, "A man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, when he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead." This is a picture of how we became when we were separated from God. Half dead. What do you mean half dead? No, listen. People who don't know the Lord Jesus personally, a personal relationship, okay? And they may stay away breathing, they may still be walking, but this says they're half dead. We're half dead. Until Jesus comes into your life and he gives you life. But everybody, you know, they're kind of walking around half dead. And listen, there's a lot of people on this planet right now that are walking around half dead. And they are, can I tell you something? Don't go up to them and say, "You know, you're half dead." "Well, Pastor D, that's how I share Jesus with people." No. It says, come on, the goodness of God. The goodness of God leads people to repentance. Gosh, People know how bad they are. Listen, I knew all the bad stuff I was doing before Jesus. I may have, you know, dressed up pretty. All right? People, they know. And, you know, I just want to smack people and I go, you know, brother, you better quit smoking those cigarettes or you're going to go to hell. You're not going to hell go to smoking because you smoke cigarettes. It's because if you do not receive Jesus, if you do not receive Jesus, okay? And as my one friend loves to say, you may smell like hell, but that's not how you go there, right? Okay, I love you, I love you, I love you. So, how does this operation, this rescue operation, right? How does this rescue operation happen, all right? Verse 31. Okay, here we go. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw a man, he passed on the other side. All right? So here we have this man who's been beat up and robbed, half dead. And this priest comes along and he sees him and he goes, I just feel led to go over here. I don't feel led to go over there and help that guy out. That's what happened there. Okay, next guy, a Levite. Verse 32. So, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. So, if you're taking notes, write this down. The priest represents religion, and the Levite represents the law. Priest represents religion, stinking, okay, and the Levite, the law, right? So, you know, religion, they just can't help you. They cannot help you when you're ruined, trashed, wasted, devastated, and all that. They can't help you, okay? So they're going to pass on the other side. And this Levite, the Levites were in the Old Testament, and they had all these laws, and then they had more laws, and then they had more laws. And they thought, you know, if you follow those laws, we can fix you. No. It's salvation saved. It's by the grace of God when you receive the Lord Jesus. That's what will save you, okay? There's no other way to be saved except through and by the name of Jesus, all right? So we got these two guys, and they go, that guy's beat up, leaving over there. Oh, we're going over here, okay? So that's what's going on. Next one, hallelujah, verse 33. The Samaritan, a lot of translations call him the Good Samaritan, okay? But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity. Most translations better is compassion. Don't you think the world would be in a better place if we had compassion on people? Like, let's have a little compassion, right? Now, for all of you that don't know, the Samaritans at that time, that were living in that time, Jewish people, they did not like them. They actually hated them. And when they saw a Samaritan, they would shun them, right? So that's the Jewish mentality of what they thought about a Samaritan, right? And so Jesus is deliberately, you know, some of you do some things deliberately. Okay, this is deliberately. So Jesus is deliberately telling this story, and he took the worst of the worst, right? And that day, and he's like, I'm going to put this in my story, and this is going to be the one guy that's going to go help and rescue. I just love that, Jesus. He just can't bring it into your heart, okay? So, something you need to know about the Bible says is Jesus became sin for you and I, right? Jesus became sin, and he became the worst of the worst for us. He's also the Good Samaritan. Okay, let's read verse 34. Here we go, verse 34. He went to him, this is the Samaritan, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine on him, all right? Those guys, those other two guys, they weren't even gonna go touch him, but what did this guy do? He bandaged his wounds and he pours oil and wine. So oil in the Old Testament, even through the New Testament, talks about the Holy Spirit. And oil, more so in the New Testament, talks about new birth. That means, when you've received Jesus Christ into your life, he puts a new life into you, a new birth. Woo! Anybody new? I'm new. Hallelujah. All right, new birth, all right? And the wine in the Bible talks again about the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, there's this really cool scripture. It says, be not drunk with wine, but be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be. All right? So it's something that you should always be being. continually filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And you know, the craziest thing, we have churches, we have denominations, that they're like, I don't want anything to do with the Holy Spirit. That's just weird stuff. That ended. That's not for today, all right? And I want to go, what are you, nuts? If ever you needed help, take all the help you can get. That's the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. Good preaching, Pastor Dean. Okay, so we got this guy. He's half dead over here on the road, okay? He's ruined, wasted, trashed, devastated, and destroyed, okay? And so this Samaritan comes and pours oil and wine and bandages him up, okay? So, what does that represent? I'm so glad you asked. Is that, you know what that means? It talks about God's going to give new life to you. Anybody need a new life? Man, I was wrecking life. Great place, you know, my life before Jesus. So he's going to give good new life, and he's going to give you the Holy Spirit to be with you while your feet are on the planet to help you every single day, right? Okay, verse 34, here we go. So he went to him and advanced the woman to pour oil on it, and then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, okay, church, wink, wink, all right, brought him to church and took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and he gave it to the innkeeper. And he says, look after him, he said. And when I return, you know, I was thinking I'd preach a whole lot on that. When I return. Okay, moving along. I will reimburse you for anything extra you have. Okay? Guys, our job as local church, not just Pastor D, our job as local church collectively is to help people. All right? Okay, so if we need to put him on the donkey, we go put him on the donkey. What do you mean, Pastor Deanna? Have some donkeys. Well, when people are struggling in life, we go and we help them, right? We go and help them. In any way, you know, whether it's this girl's giving food and sharing the gospel, or just bringing somebody into your home and just lifting them up and, you know, washing them and just helping them out, okay? But anybody ever going through a tough time? You can raise everything, okay? I had people that came alongside of me and helped me through it, okay? And that's our job as believers. That's our job as church, all right? Verse 36, here we go. Jesus is going to ask a million-dollar question. He said to this man, you know, this rich guy, this religious guy that knows everything. He said to this guy, which of the three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert of law replied, the one who had mercy on him, all right? And then Jesus smacked that. Go, what did he say? Go and do likewise. Praise God, go and do likewise, all right? So, this is a picture of what Jesus has done for you and I. This is a picture of what we're supposed to do for people. This is what Jesus has done for us. This is what we're supposed to do for people, right? And it's a picture of Jesus, the Good Samaritan, praise the Lord. It's a picture of what Jesus does to us. But then he says, go and do likewise, all right? Guys, you can go through any store, any checkout line, and I see people that are hurting, all right? Sometimes I see them crying, all right? And you just see this look on their light, on their face. Okay, people are hurting, and they are, like, begging for help, all right? So how, by the way, stop being negative. Right, geez, stop acting like the world. We are the church. We're the hope of the world because of who lives inside of us. Amen? Okay, so let's give them some positive message, all right? So I want to read one more scripture about restoration, and then we're going to move on to the second part about guidance, okay? So open up to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5. Praise God, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. 1 Peter 5, 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. Anybody suffered a little while? Yay. All right, but it says, for a little while, let's read that. For a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settle you. Okay, listen, that was good. Put your seatbelts on. Listen to what it says in the Greek. It will completely and thoroughly restore you. Woo! The God who comes to live inside of you, that just brought life into you, comes to completely restore you, repair you, and literally fix you. Okay? pray this scripture for everybody that calls YCF their home church. Father God, you completely restore them and fix them. And you might be thinking, well, it ain't working, Pastor Dave. Look at my life. Well, okay, now to be real nice. Put your toes in. Here we go. Ready? Can you give God something to work with? Like, come tomorrow, Monday, go find that Bible, okay? Go find your Bible. And gives God something to work with. Read it. And you get to this place where you go, oh my gosh, nothing's impossible with God. Oh my gosh, I'm more than a conqueror. And God's going, oh my gosh, I got something to work with them. Praise the Lord. All right? Praise the Lord. Okay, now, and I will, and I continue to pray, God, restore them, fix them. But listen, if you are unwilling to go to God and unwilling to go to the most amazing answer book, all right? Well, just give him something so he can start moving in your life. Amen? Amen. Good preacher, Pastor Dean, they're still smiling at you. I don't know. All right. Back to Psalm 23, our verse 3. Here we go. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Okay. He leads me. A better word for leads is guides. Everybody say guides. Right, so I'm going to read this way. He guides me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness and glorious name's sake. So let's dig into this word guides. All right. So when you're talking to everybody about sheep, and sheep need to be guided. They just do dumb things. They get spazzed out, freaked out, feared out. Okay. So they need to be guided. I read this story. So I've been reading about sheep. I probably feel like I'm the national expert on sheep. What did you read tonight before you went to bed? All about sheep. So I was reading this story. I can't remember which book. Okay. So there's this guy, and he goes to Israel. He's a tourist, okay? And he hires a tour guide. Good thing. You don't speak the language. So he hires this tour guide, and they're walking along. And all of a sudden, this guy sees this man trying to lead sheep in a different direction, okay? And this man's got two sticks. And he's like, to the sheep. And they ain't listening. They are, and he's kind of getting forceful. All right? So the tourist says to his tour guide, whoa, I've never seen anybody lead sheep like that before. And the tour guide says, well, oh, he's not leading sheep. All right? You know what he's doing? He just bought these sheep. And he's forcing them to the slaughterhouse. He's the butcher, okay? And he's forcing them, okay? And then the tour guide says this to this gentleman. He said, here's what you need to know. A butcher will always be behind trying to force. But the good shepherd leads and they follow. Amen. We have a good shepherd. All right, we have a really good shepherd, and he wants to lead you. He wants to lead you. Now, we talked in previous weeks that we talked about shepherds / pastors. Okay, my job or my calling, my job is to present the Word of God to you, to present it, that you'll have a path that you will follow. Okay, my job is not to force you, because you know there aren't a lot of people that want to be forced into doing something. Now, when they're little kids. Different story. I had the gates in my house and today's Play-Doh day. I'm going to make you do it, all right? Okay, eat your vegetables. But listen, when it comes to believers and our walk with the Lord, we want to be led. Everybody say led. Amen. Not forced, amen? Okay, so God is a good shepherd and he wants to lead you through by his word. Everybody have one of these? Anybody have about 10 of these? I forgot to count. I got a lot of these, okay? Turn over to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Matthew 9:36. The good shepherd wants to lead you. Hallelujah. Okay. Matthew 9:36. And when he, Jesus, saw the crowd, okay, humanity, people that breathe, young and old, when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them. We talked about compassion, right? Okay? Because they were harassed and helpless. Let me throw out a whole bunch of words from a whole bunch of translations. Ready? Because they were fainted, because they were confused, because they were distressed, because they were distracted, dejected, helpless, thrown to the ground and weary. Because he saw humanity, people like that. And he says, because they are like sheep without a shepherd. Everybody say sheep?
Sheep.
Without a shepherd.
Right.
So, that is good. So, he's talking about sheep, but he's really talking about people. People that know the Lord, people that don't know the Lord yet, right? And he says, he's looking out, he says, they are like sheep without a shepherd, right? Now, he did not say that they were sheep without a prophet. He didn't say they were sheep without an evangelist. He didn't say they were sheep without an apostle. He said they are like sheep without a shepherd pastor. So, if you're taking notes, write down this. You need a pastor. I love when a pastor tells you that, okay? And we're going to talk more about that in the next couple weeks, okay? But I have to say this to you. He says they need a shepherd pastor. He did not say you need a YouTube pastor. Did say you need a TV preacher pastor, okay? And they're all good. Hope you're listening to the good ones because there's some flakes out there. Okay, but they're all good. And they give you the word of God. But listen, you need a local church with a pastor. Or else, what is it? Oh, because they were harassed, confused, distressed, because they're like sheep without a pastor. All right. So there's this movement today. It's nothing new. You know, I love Pastor Clifton. Nothing new, Pastor Sherry under the sun. But there's movement that really just get kicking off on fire again when 2020 shut down. Yeah. Right? And all these people were like, oh, I've decided to start my own church. I'm going to have a home church. Yep, we have a home church. We're going to have a home church because, you know, and what we saw is people were leaving churches and starting home churches. Okay, that's good if God called you. But, you know, you can start anything. You can put a label on anything. It doesn't mean it's going to be the thing. All right? So people started all these churches and did all sorts of stuff. But here's what I want. Say it nice and pretty. You need to be aware of people who are disconnected from a local church, and they're trying to, with their two sticks, push you around here, all right? So this past 2 weeks, we were so blessed to have Todd Levin, right? And then Pastor Tyler, and he's a pastor, okay? And then I was talking to John Marola yesterday, and I surveyed these guys. I said, so, where are you going to be? I was talking to Pastor John Marola. And I said, hey, where are you going to be tomorrow? He's here tomorrow. Where are you traveling? He's traveling on itinerant ministry. And he says, I'm not on the road. I'm going to be at church. So I asked all of them, whoever preaches here, he's traveling on itinerant ministry. He said, so when you're not on the road, where are you going to be? And every one of them, they have a church. They have a home church. All right? They have pastors. Just saying, okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, so this word guide, you know, because I look up all these Greek words, here we go. It means guide is someone who shows a traveler a safe course through an unknown country, a guide who knows the safest, fastest, most pleasurable route, all right? A tour guide and a guide for the blind. So here's what he's saying. In the New Testament that we live in now, everybody say now. The Holy Spirit's been given to you to be your tour guide. Everybody say tour guide.
Tour guide.
Holy Spirit's been given to you to be your tour guide, right? Okay? And duh, do you understand why the enemy is so attacked? Holy Spirit, all that guy with the last apostle. You don't want to be that. You don't want that. You're going to be crazy, okay? But, you know, because, all right, the Holy Spirit wants to be your tour guide today and tomorrow and every day of your life. Right? Some of you need a tour guide, right? So listen, when Jesus Christ came into your life, the Holy Spirit came into your life. Whether you like it or not, he moved in, all right? And he wants to be the tour guide of your life. Praise the Lord, all right? So the question does God want to guide you? Everybody say, yes. Okay, here's the question. Do you want God to guide you? you really want God to guide you, okay? So, because if you want to be guided by God, this is the guide first, right? This is the most important thing. What's it say? It's a light to my path, it's a lamp to my feet, or I got backwards, okay? This is the guide, all right? And the voices of the la-la-la-la will always agree with this. And you're going to say amen. So if someone comes up to you and goes, "Look, you don't have that book. God said to me, red flag on the football field," all right? All right? Listen, this book, and what you think you hear, they are never opposite. If it's the Holy Spirit, he agrees with the word of God. So start by knowing this. So can you live every day? You know? Gosh, I love hanging out in this. Okay? I got one in the throne room. I got one in the laundry room. I got one in my car. I just love hanging out with this Bible. Okay? Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, where do we go from here? Oh. Some of you have been around the block a couple times. But I run into people. You might have, and they say this, "Oh, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me to do this, the Lord told me 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 this." I'm like, who else do you talk to? You know, they're constantly da 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 da, all right? Okay. And I'm like, whoa. But we got this guy called the Apostle Paul, the greatest apostle that ever lived on the planet, except for Jesus, who's called the high priest and the great apostle. So, Paul's pretty amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing. He wrote the book, and by the way, if you read from Acts, all through the epistles, Paul didn't go, "The Lord told me this, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me this." He didn't do that to Paul. Now, several times he said the Lord, but not, So what kind of gets me, I'm just kind of being sweet today, is that, so they come up to me, "Oh, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me this," and then the next day, the Lord changed his mind. Yellow flag on the football field. Amen. That's about all I got for you. Okay. The solidness of this word of God will never fail you. Okay. So if you put the word of God into your mind, into your heart, okay, you keep putting this here, and then the Holy Spirit that lives in you will say, "Ooh." Okay? But, you know, if you don't put this in you, you're going to get flaky things in your head. Right? Matter of fact, let me give you a good scripture. Turn to Colossians. Colossians 3:15. Let the word of God be your guide. Fill yourself up, and then the Holy Spirit will guide and speak through all of that. Amen. Here we go. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace... That's soul harmony, that's what it means. Let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all the questions that arise in your mind. Anybody ever have a whole bunch of questions in your mind? I have a good bunch of questions in my mind. I look at you and I have questions in my mind, okay? Okay, so we have questions in my mind, right? So we have this in there, okay? And it says that this Holy Spirit will guide you. And if the Holy Spirit is guiding you, okay, that settles it, brother. All right? So I've got these thoughts in my mind, and I've been in the Word of God, but I wake up, you know, da 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 da. But then I've got this peace, the Holy Spirit speaking to me, and that settles it. Okay, let me give you an example. So years ago, Jack and I were in Tulsa, we were going to Bible school, and we were invited to this special meeting. It was being held in a hotel in a conference room or a big room or something like that. So we got the brochure, and we're like, "Oh yeah, Friday night, what are we going to do? We don't have any money, we're just going to go to meetings." That's what we used to do. Right. So we get to this meeting, and we both walk in, and I'm like, something's weird. Now that is a bad word, but that's the word I used back then. I was like, something's weird about this. So we go and the meeting starts. And by the way, let me say this. If something's weird, it's going to get weird. Yep. Okay. Not talking about any of you. So we go into this meeting, and the meeting starts, and the preacher gets up there, and I'm like, man, this is weird. So I'm a little bit nicer, but back then I was like, I'm out of here to Jack. But he agreed, and we snuck out of that. So listen, we had been in the Word, but the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that's living inside of us is like, something's weird. And there were a bunch of people that we knew from the Bible school that we were going to that were there also. And so we're out in the parking lot, and it's like, all these people start joining us. Okay. So it's just not weird. So, but we agree. We agree, all right. let me see. He'll rule like an umpire. What do umpires say? Safe or out? So I said to Jack, we're out. Okay? Now listen, we've been in the Word. We were tuned into what the Holy Spirit was saying. And weird is not the word to use, but back then, that's weird. Let's open our mind. Okay. Anybody remember something? Oh, babies, okay. The Jim Jones cult in the end of the 70s, okay? Okay? There was a church. Alrighty, this guy started this church, and had the Holy Spirit been speaking, which on the inside to those people to get out, they wouldn't have drunk the Kool-Aid. And for those of you that don't know, okay, so this guy, Jim Jones, a pastor in a church, and then one day the Lord said, let's go move to, I think it was Africa, Guyana. So a whole group of people, like this whole bunch, moves. You know, I would. Okay. Anyway. So they moved there, and later on they found out this guy, the pastor, is molesting girls and boys, right? And then, once a week, they would practice drinking Kool-Aid. You're all looking at me like, Pastor, you're stupid story. I'm not, this is real. And then, one week, he dumps poison in that, and they all drink the cold Kool-Aid, and pretty much all of them died. Right? How about they were all tuned into the Holy Spirit? Listen, weird. Okay, that wouldn't happen. And the Holy Spirit is talking all the time. He's talking all the time. If you've received Jesus, he's talking to you. Sometimes I'm like, well, okay. So if I go to church someday and I say, hey, we're gonna practice drinking Kool-Aid. Better leave. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. The doorkeeper opens the gate for this man. Jesus. The doorkeeper opens the gate for this man, Jesus. And the sheep hear his voice and pay attention to him. Okay. So remember that guy who was trying to, with his two sticks, trying to beat the sheep and push it forward really forceful? And the tour guy said, those sheep don't know his voice. They're not listening to him, right? Remember that? Okay, let's keep reading. And knowing that they listen, he calls his own sheep by name. Okay, and leads them out to pasture. When he has brought all his own sheep outside, he walks where? Woo! Ahead of them. And the sheep do what? Woo! Follow them because they know his voice and recognize his call. So guys, at YCF, we believe that you should be spirit-led. Okay? And the same Spirit of God that lives inside of me is the same Spirit of God that lives inside of you. Okay? And he leads me and guides me in things that I do and what I need to do, all right? So I don't care if you're a businessman, a businesswoman, a teacher, whatever you are, okay? Listen, the same Holy Spirit that comes to live inside of me is the same Holy Spirit that comes to live inside of you, and he wants to lead you and guide you. So, are you listening? Ready? All righty. So, wrap it up right now. Worship guys, if you want to go up. If you take notes, jot this down. When you follow God's voice, two things will happen. When you follow God's voice, two things will happen. Ready? He will lead you to restoration, and he will guide you to the path, the right path. Okay. But here's the thing. When you listen to his voice, he will guide you. I'm not listening, I'm not listening. No, go away. I'm not talking to you. Are you kidding me? I've got all these things blasting in my life. I'm not listening. No, when you listen, and I said that, listen, the day that you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, and he is talking, okay? When you listen, he will lead you and guide you. Amen? Praise God. So close your eyes for a moment. Here's my question. What is the Holy Spirit when I speak to you today? Today's a clean slate, and we'll talk about yesterday. So, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to your hearts today? What is the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart? Okay? And I'm not talking about God said this, God said that, God said this. Okay, there's some voice out there. What is that Holy Spirit speaking to you today? What is he speaking to you today? Is he he loves to speak to you. Sometimes he'll say, hey, you know, I want more of you. I want to spend time with you. I want to spend time with you. Maybe he's saying, this situation in your life, I've given you direction. You need to listen. Make the changes here. So what is the Holy Spirit saying?
Blessed.
Amen.
Thank you.